welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Good morning, welcome, and be encouraged this morning. God has an amazing plan, purpose for your life. There is a glory that is attached to doing what God has called you to do better than anything the glory of man can offer. You know, a lot of times in this world, we want to do something to be noticed and recognized by men and feel good and all that, but part of living for God is realizing that there's a purpose and a plan in God for your life that brings a glory. In a way, it's not a glory that is a self-exalted, vain type of a thing for self-exaltation. There is a glory in just being a part of the plan and doing what God has called you to do. Have you ever been used by God before? Has God ever used you to speak into somebody's life or to help somebody or to be a blessing? There is a, we'd call a job satisfaction and a glory that just comes from being part of God's plan. And there's nothing in this world that can touch it. So be encouraged. We're going to go ahead and start this morning in a chapter, a few verses and a few passages, and they're going to kind of connect as we look at them. This is a psalm. It's a psalm of David. We're just going to look at a few verses here. Many of us know it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Beautiful psalm, and also a prophetic psalm as well, too. Not just relating David's own experience as he's worshiped God, but also pointing to the good shepherd that was to come. So there's some wonderful, there's a wonderful prophetic word to this psalm that applies to us very much today. And we can see a glimpse of it here with our good shepherd in John, where Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." This morning, you know, as we look at some passages of Scripture here, I really want to bring home a certain truth that Jesus wanted us to get here. Obviously, the fact that we are His sheep, He is our shepherd, that we can and do hear His voice. That's His plan. That's His design. And of course, He said, "The Father who's given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." We see a beautiful picture of Jesus as our good shepherd, His loving care over us. We see it in connection with the prophetic word in Psalms that said this is something that we were going to experience. And of course, the Lord here is our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." And we see this relationship between sheep and shepherd from the psalm. We see that same relationship in the words of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I just really want to focus on that aspect, that relationship of you to your shepherd, and to realize the relationship of your good shepherd to you, okay? I'm just simply entitling this message, "Walking with Jesus," all right? When you think back why Jesus died on that cross in the first place, is He came to redeem us, because we didn't start out in this sinful condition. We started out in a garden. We started out in a fellowship with God. We started out in a place of being able, as Adam said, to walk in the cool of the day with God. What an amazing thing. I mean, the relationship that Adam and Eve had with God, where God, even he created the animals, and then he'd bring them to Adam and have Adam name them. And whatever Adam called them, that was his name. What's profound about that? It's relationship. It's fellowship. It's God and man co-working together, doing stuff in the earth. There's a sweet fellowship with God. That's what man had. And God, when he said regarding the fruit, he said, the day you eat of it, you'll surely die. He didn't die physically that day. In fact, it was hundreds and hundreds of years later till he died physically, but something did die that day. Because when God came back in the cool of the day, on that day, they were afraid and they hid themselves. Something died. It was that fellowship with God that died that day. And ultimately, when Jesus came, he died on that cross. We say, why did he die on the cross? So we can get our sins forgiven. Yeah, that's true. But why do I want my sins forgiven? So that I can walk with God again. So that I can walk in fellowship with God again. The forgiveness of sins has a purpose behind us to restore what we lost in the garden. That's fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. A lot of times we think about fellowship with God and it kind of takes the form of a devotion time. And I can just say the words devotion time and feel condemnation in the air immediately. Devotion time. Oh. Do you know Jesus did not die on that cross so we could have a devotion time? He died on that cross to restore what we lost, fellowship with God. That's what he wants to recapture. It's fellowship with God. Fellowship with God is everything. It is. It's amazing how new believers get this more than most of us seasoned believers. That's all they know is fellowship with God. They haven't had time to be perplexed and distracted. All they know is they're just talking with God, and it is an amazing thing. I'm talking with God, and I know that he loves me. Fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. You know, Jesus' entire ministry was simply an outflow of his fellowship with the Father. He would hang out with the Father, and then he would just say what he heard the Father say, and he would just do what he saw the Father do. Isn't that an amazing thing? That was his ministry. His ministry was his fellowship with the Father and simply responding in fellowship with what he saw and heard. But everything came from that. He said, the Father in me, he does the works. I just say what I hear the Father say. I do what I see the Father do. That's a fellowship with God. That's, again, not Jesus having a devotion time with the Father. That's Jesus having this living fellowship. To the point where the disciples were so taken with this and almost envious and jealous of this thing Jesus had with the Father, where before he went to the cross, Philip said, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. The Father, the Father, the Father, the Father. We want to see the Father. And then Jesus, of course, said, have I been with you so long, Philip, and still you don't know me? I and my Father were one. He's the perfect representation of the Father. He represented what the Father said. We're supposed to be, and God's plan for us is to be Christ in the earth, is to be a reflection of who Jesus is to people down here. Jesus was the perfect reflection of the Father. But at the same time, he was praying. He had that fellowship with the Father. Even in Gethsemane, we see Jesus crying out, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. That relationship with the Father. Everything. Now, of course, the Father didn't give him a plan B, and that's why he did go to the cross. But in his fellowship with the Father, it was worked out. Let me say that, too, about me and you. When you become a Christian, there's a lot of different theology and truths, and you'll kind of hear different things along the way about, worship and different forms of worship, healing, deliverance, prosperity. God's designed to take care of your needs, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, different topics, Bible topics, and different things like that. And a lot of times what people do is they get satisfied with having an opinion about those things, and then just kind of go on down the road. Let me say this. Your fellowship with God is huge when it comes to establishing your theology. You can hear a preacher stand up here and divide the Word of God and make a case doctrinally for something. But when you take that position, you take those scriptures in fellowship with God, you're going to begin to find a living, walking path. And all of a sudden, you will walk into things in your life. Not just because you've got the scriptures, but you walk into those things in your life because you have talked them out with God. What about this, Lord? This seems kind of far out. I see it in your word. When you got that fellowship with the Father, you have a forum to be able to work through things. I can tell you what, all these things that I just mentioned, healing, baptism of the Holy Spirit, form of worship, different, I've got a backstory for everything I believe theologically that connects to a story of just me talking with God and working things out. You know, we're not theologues. We are, you know, just robotically following some. We have the truth of God's word, but we don't just have the truth of God's word. We have the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus. He authored this thing. He began this good work, and he is going to be faithful to complete it. He's the finisher. So this morning, as we're talking about walking with Jesus, I just want you to kind of capture the essence of just that fellowship that Jesus on the cross purchased for us to be able to have back again, all right? Don't think of this, again, in terms of a devotion time, but realize this is what we have. This is the joy of our salvation. It's being able to fellowship with God once again. So, as we're talking about fellowshipping, walking with Jesus, there are a few barriers that we have to overcome. These are things that we all experience. These are things that we all have to deal with. But one of the things, and really what my desire for the message this morning is to just inspire all of us to just enjoy and walk in that fellowship with God, okay? Just kind of put the theology side of it, when I say theology, I just mean all that, the heavy doctrine stuff aside for a minute, and just realize, A, number one, what happened here. You got fellowship with God. The doctrine's worked out in the fellowship with God, but you got to start with that fellowship with God. You got to start from that place of where you can commune and dialogue with God. That's critical, A, number one. Otherwise, you end up believing things because other people believe them, and you want to stay on good terms with them. It can be subtle and not even realize it. But when you take things and you work them out, I believe it because I've brought this before the Lord, and we've fellowshipped about it. We've talked about it. I got the witness. He's guided me, and I believe it because my Lord, by his Spirit, has guided me into truth, and I'm free in what I believe. Praise God. We have the freedom in our own fellowship with the Lord to be able to work out these things. So in walking with Jesus, number one, we're just going to talk about some things that we're going to push past here. First of all, we're going to walk past the busyness. Jesus, very beautifully, very eloquently, realizes that in simply getting us to really take the time to fellowship with him, he really knew that we would need to know that he is absolutely a safe place, that we can absolutely come to him and know that it's okay, it's all right. Jesus put it this way. He said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Praise God. Those who labor and are heavy laden, come to me. I love the way the Message paraphrases it. It says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." He's talking to busy people. He's talking to heavy-laden people. He's talking to people. He's just trying to appeal to us to take time out of our day. And again, it's not the, you know, I'll just address, it's not the religious connotation of, you know, devotion time. It is green pasture time. green pasture time. It's time that I can come aside. And he's saying the expectation isn't going to be condemnation. When you do this, when you come aside, I'm not going to beat you up. He said, you're going to find rest for your soul. You know, condemnation is not rest for your soul. But if you'll just by faith come aside, you'll find rest for your soul. He knows you completely, sees you completely, and calls you to come aside. Labor and are heavy laden. I love the language, the unforced rhythms of grace. You're just coming by faith. Walking past the busyness. Great story, I think, that really depicts this. The story we get with Mary and Martha. Now, it happened as they went that he, Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. That is quite a story. You know, we see that story and we look at it and we see these two people and we think, you know, is Mary being responsible and Martha and fair and all this kind of stuff? But here, the reality of this story is that this story is something that each one of us lives with. We've got Martha and Mary in our head. And there are times on the inside when that Mary in us is calling out to go to the feet of Jesus. And the Martha in us has five very responsible reasons why it would be just wrong to stop time in your day right now. You're just too busy. Your whole world is going to fall apart if you stop right now and take 10 minutes. There's a busyness. This is not because we are just so busy all the time. There is a busyness on the inside of us that's almost a form of running and running and running and running and running. A busyness. Do you understand? I have Martha talking to me when I, in the morning, sometimes know I should take it, but I could think of five other things that I could do. And they'd be good things, responsible things to do. And I wouldn't want to say that it's a waste of time to stop and do this. Of course, I would never say that. But yet I might not get these other things done. And there's a busyness that you, by faith, have to push past. In other words, I like the scriptures. He makes us lie down in green pastures. But before he can make you lie down in green pastures, he has to make you stop what you're doing and pull aside and spend time with him. There's a beautiful picture that I think kind of shows. This is just a picture of that story, basically, where you've got Jesus and Mary and Martha there with kind of the pots and the pans and kind of the frustrated look on her face. And again, this is what we get in our mind. There's a part of us that, oh, this is what I need right now. But we feel like that there's this conscious, this very responsible part of us. I'm glad this story is in the Bible. I've needed this story to correct me and to check me. And this isn't, you need to have a devotion time. Please don't confuse it with that. It's not what I'm talking about at all. Have you ever done that before where you're in that, you're going back and forth in your mind between the Martha and Mary? You know, should I? And then you finally, you do a Mary and you sit at his feet and you have that time and you go, wow, I'm really glad my whole day's different. What if I would have just done that other thing on my to-do list? You know, I'm not talking about being irresponsible, but I'm just talking about if he's going to make you lie down, he's going to make you stop what you're doing for a little bit. It's a little time. Just come aside. Say, okay, here we go. Jesus, I need some Jesus time right now. I need some time at your feet. And as you're talking to him at his feet, this isn't when he's finding out what's going on in your heart. He already knows what's going on in your heart. This is where you really have an exercise in being honest with yourself. in sharing what's in your heart and talking about. Maybe you'll start out just being a little honest. And then as you start out just being a little honest, you find out, wow, they're really... See, the thing of it is, this is not a mind game. You really are a child of God. You really are born again. You really are a new creation. And you really have the Holy Spirit living in you. He's got all that working in you. And if you just, you know, if you just stop and do, God can change your circumstances. He can change anything about your life. He just needs one thing from us. It's not good enough to have a good theology without that. That's where Pinocchio becomes a real boy. But it comes alive when you begin to talk to him at his feet. And it's just you and him. Okay, I'm going to try to say everything just right and do everything just right and all that. And I, here's the deal. You already know whether I'm talking to Abby or I'm talking to Whitney, all right? I understand, so it's not up to them to try to impress me that they're at some level that they're not. And because I know where they're, he's not going to speak to me in something that I've never read, seen, or known me. He said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. That's the way he is. That's the way we are. This is really an exercise in me just being honest with what's in my heart. And as I begin to be honest, and I find the green pastures, as he's made me lie down, made me stop what I'm doing, before I know it, I'm putting my cares in the Lord, just because I'm talking to him. You know, a lot of this theology comes out of that something. Before we, as we're walking with Jesus, we got to kind of walk, have to walk past the busyness. We got to put down. We have to put things down and say, okay, and I'm just going to start talking by faith. And as I do, oh, God loves that. You begin to talk to him. And when you begin to talk to him, all of a sudden you begin to sense. Maybe it's not a nagging thing. It's a fellowship thing. It's a fellow. And you're not really walking with God, and it'll be condemnation. God can say the same thing to you in that. But there is a walking past the busyness where we're just going to, on purpose, okay, every time I do it, that there's got to be the angels singing and the gushing, you know. The joy and the amazing things I experience from this place, I don't know, all of a sudden I got things working in my spirit. I'll get revelation later in my day. Strengthen you with might by his spirit and your inner man. No answers. Step we've got to take. We got to simply walk past the busyness. And again, no condemnation on this, because this is why he died on the cross, to restore this, to restore my fellowship with him. Exciting when you begin to realize that. There is an element of busyness as we walk in this fellowship with him. And I simply call it walking past the rest. Keeps us out of that sweet place, because we feel like we can't fit him into the to-do list enough time. Plan your day around your time with God. You know, that's thinking, I need to spend some time with God, because I didn't, just because you didn't do your morning deal in your day, you know, 5-10 minutes, whatever, finding that little quiet, that place at his feet, could be in your car, it could be in your prayer closet at home, it could be anywhere. Out and God just talking about him, help me with that, give me grace, Lord, I need your help, your grace, strength. But there's also a walking past, what I'll just say, past the restlessness. What do I mean by that? Psalms puts it this way: natural tendency, this body, this fallen body, your body is restless. It wants to be entertained. So that's kind of another area, you know, as we're pursuing, as we're walking in that fellowship with God, not only are we a busy, important day, and by faith know that you're not wasting your time to begin to talk with God. Restlessness of your body, and know that God has something better for you. But it's Psalm 143:5, where it's talking about, the psalmist says, to muse. That's musing, okay? And when you're amused, you're really not thinking, you're enjoying. This is another point of faith, though, isn't it? We know the Psalm 1 guy, he muses day and night, and he's going to be like a tree planted. Nothing wrong with enjoying some lighthearted stuff. We need to veg out for a little bit. But it's important to realize that amusement is a lot like mental dessert, victory on cake and ice cream, mentally, spiritually. There's a pushing past. You're always be heavy spiritual. But there are some times, you know, where the Bible says, set your mind on things above. Work in your behalf. But here's one thing that I want to get across first before a priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all poor reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin, as we are. We talked about it. His whole ministry came out of his fellowship with the Father. We sometimes get the picture of obedience through the things he suffered. He came in the likeness of sinful, that his body wouldn't fight him over that? That his body wouldn't fight him? Let's just, when you come to him and you're saying, oh, you know, you're embarrassed for your selfishness, you're embarrassed for, you know, he gets us on that level too. But boy, does it bless him. When we go, and I'm just going to, by faith, Lord, begin to talk to you. This is just in my fellowship with him. He understands. He's able to sympathize with our weaknesses. I love that. He's not out of touch with our reality. You know, I know you get it. I know you know it. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just going to begin to provide distraction. I've got anxiety, and I need a distraction. Give me something. There is something in the musing, not the amusing, but the he not only makes us lie down in the green pastures, he not only makes us put the pots down. It's awesome when you come through that Ephraim and the water's just like, and it's not a negative bad thing. He's there to still the water. When we see exhortations like this, and here's a picture. I just like that little picture of Jesus leading the lamb beside the still water. And where it's calm, where it's peaceful. And that's really where he's leading us. We kind of come to him, and that's why when we come to him like that, it's like, okay, you're leading me. I'm letting you know what's in my heart, but I also know at the same time as I am letting you know what's in my heart, you're leading me. And he's going to lead you to those still waters. How does he do that? How does he get to that place of stillness? These exhortations. James says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. It's a lot like him. He's meek and lowly in heart. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, don't boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. It's earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. It's troubled waters. It's waves. It's white caps in your soul. But the wisdom that is from above, it's pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's willing to yield, full of mercy, and full of good fruits. It's without partiality. It's without hypocrisy. Now, the fruit of righteousness is how you get free from partiality. You don't have the intellectual capacity nor the character that you think you have to be free from partiality. You get free from partiality in the presence of God. You know, here I was feeling sorry for myself, and I'm just doing the same thing. Just can't see. It's like a blind. Angry. It's not a whip. It's like, wow, awesome. Wow, I see that. It's truth. And you have more confidence and more faith and your dialogue with God, and you know God better. And it's not about you being right. Peaceful waters there. It's calm now. It's calm. God's done a work in your soul. And with things, there's nothing wrong with experiencing anxiety. He says, just don't stop there. Turn to him in prayer. Let your request be made known unto God in the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. But here's the follow-through. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. Passage. You'll notice that verse 17 and 18, pure, honest, you know, pure people. Those are both still water verses. He's going to lead you. He will lead you here. Your soul cleaves to the dust. There is a rest to lead you here. And the result is not going to be the answer, the payback, it'll bring you to a place that you can hear from God. This is why the peace, the understanding, more than you want the peace, you'll never get the peace. But when the that's a great place, because you know from that place of peace, the peace puts you in a position to hear. It puts you in a position to get the understanding. And that's why he does. Bone down, then you'll go into a place where he's going to lead you to places of mercy. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. You can be in that place, and it's all you could never ever talk with God about. Well, he was safe here. I'm just going to go for the whole ball of wax. Just begin with his love and his peace and his grace, and his presence is still there. Pray for restlessness. This is stuff we all deal with. It's not just you. And he understands it. He's not out of tightness of sinful flesh as he did it. So he's compassionate. He's merciful. And when you There's walking into restoration. And as we look at that, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your prove is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The thing that's really amazing about this verse is you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's where the still waters, and then he restores our soul. That's a process. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're changed from glory, fellowship with God. You find out when you really begin to walk it out, you'll get some zaps here and there. You'll experience some quick things. Falling into deep waters with God comes through time. It's a process. Implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Or you could say restore. In some ways, that's good. And in some ways, it's not good. Because they get born again, they get saved, and they're just excited as God. And I just, wow, this Bible is amazing. And God really, and if I've got some theological chips on my shoulders and different things, I'll read a scripture and mind, yeah, that's why. I can, my soul, help me to just receive it fresh again, like I'm a brand new believer. And just for the restoring of my soul. And that's the thing about those new believers. You know what I mean? But it's kind of like Odie and Garfield sometimes. But I really simplify here. Just you sitting at the feet of Jesus. And so we can come back. We could have that. We could have that restored. Be not deceived. God isn't mocked. Whatever a man really, 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 really powerful. Again, this can be used to clang and da-da-da-da-da. You got-da-da-da-da. Realize, God, you're sowing to the Spirit. And you're reaping life. You might reap it right there and then. You might reap it later in the day. You might reap picking up things. But the powerful thing about this is that we will not, we want in our life that you're not going to jump into, you're going to walk. You know, and as you first turn away, that pull is the strongest. And as you're walking away, if you don't grow weary, if you'll just walk it out, and we as charismatics need this a lot. The finisher of your faith, and he's doing some finishing work at his feet. There's just something going on there. I mean, think about that. You know God can't argue with. You can't argue with. It's always the safe thing. That's what Jesus said, come sing again. He's lifted my sorrows. I can't stay silent. I must sing. Piercing my darkness, I see the bright morning sun as it ushers in his joyful. You've turned my mourning into dancing again. You've lifted my sorrows. I can't stay silent. I'm stand up to you. You stand up here and preach different things that I believe about healing and about the baptism. Bad things are going to happen to you. No, 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 no. Anybody who's a real Bible preacher who has a real relationship and a real walk with God, he's talking all the time. He's talking all the time. But you'll get past that he had to take upon him. He understands that. He's not out of touch with our reality, even his soul. And that is a process. That is a process. The cool thing of it is, though, when you begin to, you don't. It's not like I got to give that up. Got to get up. I'm going from glory to glory to glory to glory. And so he changes that paradigm. But you're walking into that restoration. Don't died on the cross for our sins so that we could again walk with you. Ask those things. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Lord Jesus, I love you. You are a good shepherd. You're meek and lowly in heart. You really are a safe place. I come boldly and I ask for grace. Grace to put the pots down. Grace to put the phone down. And to know it's not a waste of time. It's not a religious duty. You're real. I'm really a child of God. We really talk. We really fellowship. And give me the grace, Lord, to walk past the busyness, to by faith stop the amusing and start musing, feeding on your word, knowing it's saving my soul. It's strengthening me. There's power in your word. I love you, Jesus. Day by day, I'm going to walk into restoration. Day by day, I'm conforming to you. Day by day, I'm setting aside the weights and the sins. Running a little faster, moving a little swifter, hearing more and more what your Spirit is saying to me. Thank you, Jesus, for wanting a relationship with me. In Jesus' name, amen.